Hi, this is Jonathan with Limitless Mindset, and this podcast is my meta-analysis of phasoracetam. And this molecule of Japanese origin is the used panties vending machine of racetams. In that, I'm not desperate enough to spend my money on it. From a 2012 paper from the research wing of the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, Dr. H's talk highlighted his work with phasoracetam, a drug that was originally developed by the Japanese pharmaceutical company Nippon Shinyaku to treat Alzheimer's disease, but after being put through clinical trials was shelved for efficacy reasons. Dr. H and his team are currently investigating whether phasoracetam could be used to treat ADHD, a project he called a representation of what genomics is offering. Likewise, phasoracetam has already been shown to ameliorate cognitive impairment and hyperactivity in animal models. Dr. H noted, and if all goes well, he and his team hope to launch a product by the end of 2016, that phasoracetam has already been through a battery of trials, 28 in all, allows for a truncated drug development timeline, and using genomics to determine new indications for available products can help speed therapies to market, unquote. So the evidence for phasoracetam is scant. There are 10 research items on PubMed for phasoracetam. Of these, only a single one is the kind of human study that I like to see validating the smart drugs I use. And it describes it as a novel agent for cerebrovascular disease. This Japanese study notably demonstrated no significant nootropic or cognition-enhancing effect. It used a statistically significant sample size of 14, or I'm sorry, a statistically insignificant sample size of 14 men. The only value I see in this study is that it increases, it decreases the risk profile of this drug from a research chemical that's irresponsible for lay people to consume to a research chemical of unproven benefit that is not worth spending money on. A 1999 study by Nippon Shinyaku Co. Research Laboratories called it a novel cognition enhancer, but did not have any evidence of benefit. On mechanism of action, phasoracetam works on three mechanisms, cholinergic, GABA, and glutamate. Another study by Nippon Shinyaku identified its effect on the choline system and GABA receptors. NS-105 showed anti-amnesiastic actions in a variety of animal models of cholinergic dysfunction employed in the study. Furthermore, the effects of NS-105 on in vivo release of acetylcholine in the cerebral cortex, high-affinity choline uptake of the cerebral cortex in rats. NS-105 showed the increase of ACH release from the cerebral cortex in the enhancement of HACU, both in the cerebral cortex and hippocampus. NS-105 also reversed memory disruption induced by baclofen, a potent GABA-B receptor agonist, but all of the reference drugs did not. These results suggest that anti-amnesiastic action of NS-105 is due to the facilitation of cholinergic neuronal activity and the suppression of GABA-B receptor-mediated responses. From a 2000 Japanese paper, these findings suggest the inhibitory actions of NS-105 on adenylyl cyclase activity is mediated through group 1 and group 3 receptor subclasses, while the facilitatory action is dependent on group 1 receptor subclasses. On ADHD, the research objective of fosloracetam was to treat ADHD. Stinkmonger on longevity has a pretty good hypothesis for its mechanism. A lot of ADHD is attributed to high levels of CAMP, while the PFC-based symptoms, that is, inability to control emotions, impressions, focusing, etc., are at least partially attributed to CAMP. When dopamine hits the D receptors in the brain, they're supposed to activate and lower CAMP, at least the D4 and D2 receptors are. But because of repeats in the genes, they don't decrease CAMP sufficiently. The result is complete signal noise. It's like trying to tune a channel on the radio, but there's too much static. You need something to cancel out the interference. Boy, that's certainly how I felt when I was younger and really struggled with ADHD. In theory, fosloracetam could normalize CAMP levels and produce better focus without the side effects of either stimulants or alpha-2 agonists like Intuniv. Biohacker review. I used fosloracetam for about a month and was pretty underwhelmed by it. I would typically use a dosage of 20 milligrams. There is a bit of a focusing effect similar to other racetams, but it's pretty short-lived. It's like 3 to 4 hours. I didn't find it energizing like paracetam. I did get aroused on it and had a normal orgasm while on it. So no negative effect on libido here. Since I've enjoyed Phenibute for quite a while, I had hoped that fosloracetam might be the best of both worlds, the cognitive edge of a racetam with the prosocial effects of a GABAergic. Disappointingly, it didn't have any noticeable effect on my verbal skills or ability to socialize, approach anxiety, social anxiety, none of that. I had two experiences that were a little odd while on it. One evening while doing my meditation, I found myself very short of breath despite belly breathing in the proper Taoist method. I decided to continue my meditation standing up, and then I had an urge to shake my body. So I shook my body for several minutes in a bit of a jerky jig that would not look so out of place in some discos. One day, also, second episode, I upped the dosage to 30 milligrams, which didn't have a notable nootropic effect. However, I got a therapeutic massage, and I had a really tough time totally relaxing my body during the massage. I get massages frequently, and usually I'm able to properly relax all my muscles during them so the masseuse can really work out the knots. And I really kind of had a weird issue doing that. This one time, and my massage therapist, she kind of made fun of me over it. I can't blame these reactions on the fosloracetam itself, but as a biohacker that self-monitors closely, they were noteworthy. On motivation, from Telite on longevity, experiencing greatly increased motivation. No real increase in cognitive performance, mental rotations, working memory, perceptual speed, but the motivation is really helping get things done. I am still experiencing a great deal of motivation even as I type this post now. I'm not experiencing any fatigue whatsoever and am ready for the challenges of the day. Having taken it for about a week, I also notice some kind of long-term pro-cognitive effect. I have been very productive and successful academically this week. Even though I took a day break, I still feel very much above baseline, especially in the motivation department. On dosage, the Japanese study used a dosage of 100 milligrams daily. However, most of the self-experimenters we're starting with a dosage of like 10 to 20 milligrams daily. So keep your dosage quite low on it. And I'm going to recommend that you, if you are interested, surf on over to the page on Limitless Mindset for Fosaracetam, and I will have a updated dosage guide there, because sometimes I will encounter new information after I put out these podcasts, and I keep that updated on my websites. As far as sources, IntelliMed sells it in 10 milligram tablets for about £26, and Nootropics EU in Europe sells it powdered 2 grams for 30 euros. So I guess you get quite the break if you go powdered, if you want to do that. Related rant. So fosaracetam is another example of an irresponsible misrepresentation online of drugs that lay consumers really shouldn't be using it. One of the first results on Google for fosaracetam is the content farm, Nutriment.com. And their article enthusiastically recommends it for everything from intelligence to anxiety, and irresponsibly fails to mention the numerous undesirable side effects reported. It also fails to make a clear distinction between this very dubious research chemical and cognitive enhancers that are proved by a meaningful preponderance of human double-blind placebo-controlled studies. While the internet can inform us of very helpful drugs like paracetam, it also informs the masses about drugs like fosaracetam that really don't belong outside of a laboratory. Nutriment concludes, although it is very young, fosaracetam will likely become a beloved member of many nootropic stacks. And God, I hope not. I can't come up with any benefit of taking this risky drug that isn't offered by a much safer drug. So shame on you, Nutriment. Moving on, side effects. Notably, what people are going to worry about more than anything else is its effect on orgasm. At least a couple of users agreed that it had an undesirable effect on libido and orgasm, on reduction of orgasm. I'm not sure at which doses the negative effects on orgasm began, since during my FASA trial, I didn't have any orgasms. I was more interested in the academic work I was doing and completely didn't realize that I wasn't masturbating at all during the 3 weeks. When I did, I noticed the strange feeling of ejaculating but not really experiencing an orgasm. Perhaps he should check out my course on tantric self-cultivation and he'll become a bit more mindful of these things. Anyways, getting back to what the guy's talking about. Looking back, I would say that it also decreased my sex drive, but this is actually a bonus for me since it allows me more time and better focus to do more work. So he's saying that it kind of works like a modern day racetam saltpeter for him. Another longevity biohacker concurred with this, agreed with this. To start things off, I can definitely attest to the fact that FASO reduces the intensity of an orgasm dramatically, but it also has its upsides like increased motivation and a clearer, more focused mind. The good news is that this seems to be totally episodic and that orgasms are back to normal after just a couple of days of going off of fosaracetam. And like I said, I did my own fosaracetam trial and I did not notice this effect, but enough people have that I'm compelled to share it with you. Next side effect, anxiety. At least a couple of users have reported undesirable anxiety. I tried fosaracetam 2 times now and am not a fan. On both attempts, 5 and 10 milligram respectively, I felt moderately spaced out. I have also experienced some anxiety. Next side effect, drowsiness. Reports of a sedative effect are also common. The first wave of effect came on me within 10 minutes of popping it under my tongue. I was overcame with a pleasant drowsiness, and I slumped forward in my chair with my eyes closed for several minutes. Then I came out of my stupor and felt a sense of well-being and a clean effect that others have mentioned. Several minutes later, I became very drowsy again, almost like I had been drugged with a knockout type of drug. As I said with this one, I did a trial myself, but it was relatively short trial, and Nootropics EU did send me some of their powdered stuff, and as a educator of some repute on the racetams on the internet, you know, as underwhelmed and as unimpressed and as unimpressionable of a impression that Facetam left on me, I think I'll go ahead and try the powdered stuff, and then I will put out maybe another review on the Limitless Mindset channel, do like a video blog, and then I will really be able to say that I am just completely unimpressed by this stuff. Anyways, I'm Jonathan with Limitless Mindset. Look forward to a continued conversation with you.
Born in Japan in the 80s, lab scene for Suracetum, tried fixing dementia, what a dream. Phase 3 trials, but efficacy was bland. Dropped like an expired nootropic brand. This molecule of Japanese origin is a used penny spending machine of race subs. I'm not desperate enough to spend my money on it. We purpose for ADHD, it peaks some hope, but data's thin and not user approved to cope. Trials are limited, with humans still unseen. Caution is wise in this cognitive machine. Do reports of memory, clarity, and drive. Maybe mood, anxiety, or motivation revive. Still, it's a research chemical and tested terrain. Long-term effects, we just don't know the claim. This molecule of Japanese origin is the used penny spending machine of race tugs. I'm not desperate enough to spend my money on it. Molecule of Japanese origin is the used penny spending machine of race subs. I'm not desperate enough to spend my money on it. We purpose for ADHD, it peaks some hope, but data's thin and not user approved to cope. Trials are limited, with humans still unseen. Caution is wise in this cognitive machine. Users to report some memory, clarity, and drive. Maybe mood, anxiety, or motivation revive. Still, it's a research chemical and tested terrain. Caution is wise in this cognitive claim. Some say it hits your focus, sharpens attention, but side effects lurk, fatigue, or tension. Digestive gripes, headaches, maybe libido drags. All in that race, 10 bag of mixed neuro swag. This molecule of Japanese origin is the used penny spending machine of race tugs. I'm not desperate enough to spend my money on it. If you're chasing clarity, strength, or cognitive steam, better to stack proven smart drugs, stay supreme. Face a receipt of quirky, but your wallet's too dear. Why can't we on slack when the real hacks are near? This podcast saved you from trying this dumb drug. So you'd be a bad biohacker if you didn't leave Limitless Podcast in a